Hey, everyone, how's it going over there? Okay, so who we got here today? So, hi, Gregash, hi, Herman, hi, James, hello, team. How is everything going over there? Everybody, welcome to our tap room that is opened only on Thursdays. And this is the only tap room where you're welcome to accept the table dance challenge from anybody. And today, our topic is: one doesn't simply consider one share storage product for Hyper-V environment, or does he? And before we will start, I would like to make a quick check of the system to make sure that everything runs properly and smoothly. So please drop me a quick message in the GoToMeeting chat box and say something like, "Hey, everything is broken," or, "I will leave here in 5 minutes," or, just to let me know that you hear me well. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, team. Thank you, David. Okay, looks like we're all set. Thank you, Robert. Okay, great. Great, guys. Thank you. And besides the good old friends in the room, I see a lot of new names here, so I'd like to remind everyone that this tap room is initiated by Starwind and it occurs every Thursday. And before we'll start, I want to assure everyone that the happening is recorded and the record will be uploaded to our website soon after we will get done today. Well, okay, I'm lying a little bit. Probably I'll just edit the video today, and tomorrow we're gonna upload it and send the link to the record really soon. And obviously you can follow us on the YouTube. Also, if you have some questions, please type them all into the GoToWebinar question box and all of the questions will be answered. And moreover, if there will be a great questions that, may result in the brilliant discussion, I will gladly unmute the person who asked it and we will discuss the question live. And now just a quick introduction of myself. My name is Anatoly, but you, my friends, can call me Tony. I've been in IT for 7 years and 6 of them I have dedicated to Starwind. And right now I'm leading the support department worldwide in this company, which is actually cool. I prefer drinking scotch or Cointreau, and today I took a couple of beers with me, but I finished them all over just few minutes before the chat room. That's actually why we're starting a little bit later. So, okay, let's rock and bottoms up. Just a quick review of agenda for today's session. So for aperitif, we will review the options of shared storage solutions, well, main options for shared storage solutions for Hyper-V environments that is actually built on the some quizzes, let's say, of trusted sources. For a bitter, I will tell you how to mix Starwind with Hyper-V, and at the party we will have Starwind Virtual SAN in action. And traditionally, we will have the question and answer section at the after party. Okay, bottoms up, gentlemen. So, first thing that Microsoft offers is assured nothing light migration. It makes possible to move virtual machines from one running physical Hyper-V host to another without downtime. At that, you need neither a shared storage nor clustered Hyper-V host. And shared storage live migration helps manage scheduled downtime. However, it does not protect from unplanned downtime in case of, let's say, hardware or software failure or instant maintenance. The big issue with this approach is the inability to build a guest virtual machine cluster because it requires shared storage, fiber channel or a SCSI. In addition, migration takes too much time if there are many virtual machines, since this process implies the movement of entire virtual machine on disk image and virtual memory content from one physical Hyper-V host to another. So just a quick conclusion here, and actually I would like to make few the conclusion before after each part. if you go into shared nothing live migration, usually you need to keep in mind that you have no protection for unplanned downtime at all. And that's, you know, pariah. That's just a reality of it. You need to keep it in mind always. And guest VM cluster is not accessible here at all. And Starwind, on the other hand, utilizes the same hardware and software and solves all the issues mentioned previously. It provides assistance with both planned and unplanned downtime, and with Starwind it is easy to build guest virtual machine cluster because it is fault tolerant as SCSI-SAN itself. Well, actually we moved from a SCSI-SAN definition, and right now we're positioning us as the software defined storage solution, but you know, basically we're just virtualizing the storage. That's what we did for the last 5 years. Well, why five? Actually, it's more than six, to be honest. So, move to next slide. Hyper-V replica. This part is actually short. Everything's straightforward here. So, Hyper-V replica ensures effective virtual machine disaster recovery. It enables virtual machine replication and manual failover in case of sudden server breakdown on the primary side. However, it does not deliver automatic failover, and you know, data is asynchronously replicated with a minimum 5 minutes interval. So that so after the failover, there is data loss for the reference parade. Along with the manual failover, Starwind ensures automatic failover, thereby providing continuous availability, or better say, fault tolerance, zero data loss, and the best recovery time objective and recovery point objective values. Since Starwind makes synchronous mirroring, there is no difference between the data kept on both storages. Okay, another conclusion here. So with Hyper-V replica, Hyper-V replica is the disaster recovery scenario, while Starwind is a, well, mostly we're concentrated on providing the primary storage on the primary side. And, you know, I wanted to compare the Hyper-V replica with the Starwind, but technically this is like comparing, you know, tomato and oranges. That's a different thing. You need to have both to ensure business continuity. Well, moreover, you must have the snapshots, you know, the backup, reliable backup solution to ensure the business continuity. And Hyper-V replica itself is disaster recovery site, while Starwind can actually do everything. But I will give you more detailed information about this a little bit later, and right now let's talk about the SMB3. This thing provides a very simple way to cluster Hyper-V host, at least three hosts, and all the associated network infrastructure are required to build a solution with the SMB version 3 shared storage. And as a result, the price of this kind of installation is rather high. In addition, such a configuration makes the storage server holding virtual machine images a single point of failure, providing no fault tolerance. Moreover, performance is not great because all reads and writes requests are sent over a comparably slow network. Well, you know what I'm saying. Usually people are having the network as a bottleneck rather than storage. Well, on my experience at least. I know that there are different situations, but still. From the other side, Starwind requires only two already existing, and that's important part, already existing Hyper-V hosts to build a completely fault-tolerant Hyper-V cluster. All read requests are processed locally. You know, it's a DAS, directly attached storage. And only writes require an acknowledgement over the LAN. But guys, that's just an acknowledgement. Therefore, Starwind provides a considerably higher performance compared to SMB3 model. The Starwind architecture also eliminates a single point of failure by building a fully redundant configuration. You know, two nodes. Each one contain the live copy of the data. And this is just, the table for your consideration. So I think this one should put the subject really straightforward. So number of nodes Starling has lower, performance is limited by LAN from Microsoft's standpoint, for Microsoft solution, I mean SMB3, and the Starling cell doesn't have one. And single point of failure, if you don't want it, go with Starling. Now let's talk about the Hyper-V cluster with SAS JBOD at the shared storage. It's very easy to use solution, I mean, really. It's really easy to use for creation of high-performance Hyper-V cluster. Moreover, it's built into the Windows Server, so a lot of people asking like, why can't I just use it? I mean, it should just work. But it requires dedicated hardware, actually SAS JBOD enclosures, obviously SAS controllers and SAS disks, SAS HBAs. It is impossible to use existing SAS or SATA disks already mounted on physical Hyper-V servers. A single JBOD, SAS JBOD, doesn't guarantee 100% fault tolerance because not all the components inside of it are redundant. Only dual JBOD, well, to be honest, I'm mistaken. So three JBODs are required to provide an adequate level of failure resistance, or how Microsoft says it, enclosure awareness. With Starwind, there is no need for extra disk, dedicated controllers, dedicated HBAs, or anything else additionally, because it builds highly available shared storage by using existing commodity hardware, commodity network, cheap internal, not expensive internal spindle disks. It can consume the flash, which is cool as well, that are already presented on the Hyper-V host. And Starwind solution reduces the hardware requirement for at least for everything. So let's just quickly watch through the spreadsheet. So SAS JBOD, SAS SAS equipment is not required for Starwind, and this Microsoft can do the things only with SAS, and Starwind can do with anything, and that is actually the case not only for those guys who don't have a huge budget for SAS drives. That is applicable for the guys who have the flash card equipment, PCIe flash cards equipped in the server, and they want to benefit from the speed. So with Microsoft, you can put the operating system installation on it and be happy that your Windows loads really like within 4 seconds. With Starwind, you can be happy for all of the virtual machines that you have in your environment. And again, from the single point of failure standpoint with Microsoft, you should choose whether you want to spend a fortune on getting three JBODs, or you will be ready to stand you will be ready to accept the single point of failure in your system. Again, that's not the case with Starwind. I mean, I will not spread a lot about Starwind here, because everything is actually really good explained on this slide, dedicated to scale-out file server configuration. So that actually the rock star for that Microsoft delivered with Windows Server 2012 R2, as far as I remember, and it allows for clustering two or more SMB servers, up to four as far as I know, for fault tolerance, high performance, and load balancing. External shared storage, 5 fiber channel, as Kazi or Sergey, but is also necessary to cluster scale-out file servers. Such as complex architecture has a long I/O path. The reads are first processed over the network and then they are addressed to the local storage. LAN and DAS are involved, and that obviously degrades the performance. SMB3 can only scale with the multiple clients. Single client requests are processed by just one node, and therefore there should be many clients to increase the load and attain better utilization. Bam, bam, bam. Starwind replaces block back end for scale-out file server, resulting in significant capex and opex decrease. That's achieved through storing the data on not expensive status spindles. Starwind increases the performance by allowing to use the uber-fast PCI flash for level 2 or data storing for level 2 caching. Also, it supports 10, 40, 56 Gbps PCIe Ethernet NICs to run data synchronization or anything else. Starwind Virtual SAN also brings the beneficial features complementing the Microsoft technologies. That's, by the way, important part here. We are not competing. We are complementing. Inline deduplication increases utilization of usable space, which is especially the issue with flash. Also, it increases the performance for the write-intensive VMs, which perfectly complements the Starwind offline deduplication optimized for reads and storing backups. RAM write-back caching replaces Microsoft Cluster Shared Volume Cache and Flash write-back cache for maximum possible performance and reliability without breaking the bank. Additionally, it prolongs flash life by absorbing the write IOs. Log structuring file system, LSFS, that's a new feature, beneficial feature of Starwind, and moreover, it's proprietary feature of Starwind, eliminates IO Blender, which boosts the performance of VM-specific workload and prolonging the flash life, while improves ability to use flash since there are no spot burns. By the way, I think it's a good idea to dedicate one of our taproom sessions to the LSFS topic. I think it's a good idea to cover there not only the explanation of, you know, what is LSFS, what problem it solves and how exactly it's done, but also I want to cover best practices part here, and I will definitely do that, but please just give me at least five question, you know, five messages in a go to webinar questionnaire that it's a good idea. Otherwise I think I will not do this. Okay, oh, right, that's spreadsheet. So once again, Microsoft is limited by four servers. Starwind starts with two. Well, technically it's one server. Well, technically it can even be the Azure server, which is a virtual machine, but that's not actually production environment, let's say. And Starwind allows true scale out of the system, while scale out file server by Microsoft is scaling up and scaling out to four, and then you're still stick with the scale up strategy. External shared storage is required from Microsoft and Starwind, guess what, not. IOPS is long for Microsoft, Starwind runs everything as DAS. And client processing request, well, you see everything on your screen now. Well, I hope we are done here. I'm giving you a few, well, let's say just one minute if you have some questions right now, so I could answer them before we will jump on the live demo part. Whoa. And I don't see anything right now at the moment. I mean anything at all. Okay. Looks like I don't have any questions. So okay, I've got here prints pre-configured question. Pre-configured system, pardon. This is two nodes, Hyper-V environment, Hyper-V setup, hyper-converged, which means that StarWind, I mean share storage, right, runs on the same servers with the Hyper-V. So what I'm going to show you right now, well, at least I will try to show it to you right now, is how, first of all, how StarWind handles the wrong IP addressing in the host. First of all, it's attempting to connect to the host multiple times. Star Management Console does it really hard, and then after, it just tells you where exactly the problem is, and that's great. So all is left to do is to remove this the host from the inventory and add it back, and then you see that it picked up the wrong IP address again. That's why you're ch that's why you are using the IP address that works, and then after you can click connect and connect to the host. The same story with the second host. Okay, so as you can see, we've got everything that Hyper-V cluster requires, witness node and a JImage. Let's even check the Fallover Cluster Manager. I'm gonna pin it to start finally. Also, I'm gonna pin StarWind Management. Oh, pardon, Disk Management Tool of Microsoft. Okay, first thing first, cluster. So two disks, one is witness, one is CSV. We've got virtual machine. I'm gonna even connect to this virtual machine. I'm gonna change the user here. Jesus. Sometimes I blame my parents for that first and last, for that long first and last name. And okay, so it's I love McDonald's. Okay. Okay, so let's wait a bit until this one gonna be booted. One of our attendees, James, should leave to other meeting, and he says bye to all of us. So thank you for attending, James, and take care. Thank you for joining. Okay, the virtual machine gonna boot up, I'm sure. It's just not uber fast. Okay, James left us. So first thing first, I would like to show you how exactly StarWind device is created. So just watch closely. That's it. Do you think there were 3 seconds? There were two. We've got the shared storage, this one. Well, obviously there is a longer path, so let me guide you through this one. The first one that I took used default options, you know. So this one is advanced. It gives you ability to create like multiple device types and etc. But we are mostly concentrated on the hard disk device, and to be more exact, on the virtual disks. You can choose the storage path here, different from default. Choose the size of the device. Let's make it 12 gig. And hint for you guys, if you are Hyper-V dudes, use 4K bytes sector size. And when we're saying may be incompatible with some clients, we actually assume the E6. Okay, so SICK, yeah. SICK or SIM provisioned. SICK is flight images, SIM provisioned assumes LSFS and deduplication. So caching options. Usually we recommend to stick with the default here and consider using the write through for L2 caching. Let's give it a name. So let's call it Apple iWatch 6. Okay, now let's see how exactly the application, how to make this standalone thing highly available. So right-click, Replication Manager, Add Replica, stick with the default on the first step. Then after, you need to enter the IP address or the domain name, HVN3, it wasn't HVN1, of the partner server. Obviously, we need to create a new one. In the network settings, choose the IP address that you want to use for synchronization and the heartbeat. Okay, so that was a long pass. So once again, that's this quick way. Just give it a name, like, I don't know, I want iPhone. Like, few clicks, right? By the way, which is what is good here, you can always extend it on the fly. That's it. After that, usually I'm showing how to configure the Microsoft SCSI connections, but according to what I saw, people didn't watch it. So let me know if anybody, at least one person, want to see how exactly the SCSI connections are configured. Anyone? Oh. Yeah, okay, we've got some requests. You guys saved the day. Thank you, Matt George. And Robert just asked, how does the host access the storage? So that's exactly what I'm going to show you right now. So first you need to open the SCSI initiator, add the IP addresses of the host, use loopback address to connect to the local storage, and external IP address dedicated to SCSI traffic to connect to the remote storage. Then after, all the targets should appear here. And voila, that's one of them. So let's work with the iWatch thing. We are in HV1, so we need to connect to this one locally, which we ensure by properly configuring the discovery tab. And then after, we need to go, what I have connected to? Oh, that was our one iPhone. Okay, let's disconnect from this one. So here is our iWatch. So again, this one is local and this one is remote, and here either where magic kicks in, you need to ensure that you will connect to it using the external IP addressing. Whoa, front 20 for ex from 10 to 10. Yeah, looks good. And then after, the disk will be visible as a local disk in a disk manager. Let's scroll it down. Scroll it down, that's it. Here it goes. So all everything is left to do is to bring it online, initialize it. By the way, use GPT. And format it. Oops, missed important step. Use 64K allocation unit size. That's it. Then after, if you will go to the Failover Cluster Manager, you can click Add Disk and add it. I will not do this right now since I will kill it just after this webinar. So now let's see how exactly Starwind handles the failures. So this is a partner host. I'm going to just restart it. Let's make simulation of software maintenance, and let's assume that this was a, I don't know, Windows updates. So what these are, way to show you that everything works. Well, oh, you saw that? You saw that? That was a failover. That's it. That the only thing that you're going to see in the event of a failure if everything was configured properly. And that's exactly what Starwind is intended to do, to stand such failures. Well, when talking about the fault tolerance, obviously there is a lot of functionality that Starwind brings: data applications, and provisioning, tiered caching, you know, and on and on and on. But fortunately, we didn't have a lot of time to show everything and to talk about everything. So guys, really just leave me the requests of the thing that you want to see, and I will obviously dedicate one of the webinars to just show you everything. Okay, so this is actually the perfect time to move to the question section. I've got a few questions already, so let's start with them. And meanwhile, guys, just type all of your questions in the GoToMeeting. Okay, so David is asking, are you going to offer this demo on VMware? Well, not right now, but yes, we have the tap room scheduled dedicated to the VMware setup. Thank you for your question. Next question, two questions actually from Robert. So data is replicated between the two Hyper-V hosts running Starwind. Absolutely correct. Starwind holds the data. The live copies of the data on each Starwind node. So should one server fail, well, you saw what happens, like nothing. And that's actually really great in my opinion. And the second question from Robert is, how does the host access the storage? Oh, I showed it to you, haven't I? Okay, I'm considering this question answered, but let me know if you want to see anything additionally. So thank you, Robert, for questions. Let's move on to the next one. So William is asking about the licensing and costs. Great question, actually. Recently, we changed our licensing policy, and right now we have only three editions of the Starwind. Perpetual licenses. So we call them something like standard, enterprise, and data centers. So the first, the lowest one covers 4 terabytes and 2 nodes, no ability to scale up, scale out. The second one covers 2 nodes and scaling out is optional, and no storage limits here. And the last one, like the rock star of Starwind licenses, is have no limits at all. I mean, install it wherever you want, how much you want. Do whatever you want. Scale out, asynchronous replication, synchronous replication, caching, like petabytes of data, anything. At about cost, I'm not sure exactly. So, I mean, I don't want to lie to you. If you want, just drop me a quick email and I'm going to take it from there. I'm going to take it offline. Thanks for the question, William. Next question from Uwe. I hope I pronounced it correctly, Uwe. So, also for Citrix, that's how this question sounds. I'm assuming that Uwe meant if we're going to have the live demo for Citrix. Well, yeah, that is actually is in the plans, but I'm not sure when exactly. Once again, the more correspondent requests for the tap room I will receive, the faster it's going to be. So, everything is in your hands. Next question from George. A cluster for cluster replication between remote data centers supported? Yeah, it's called actually geoclustering, and we can do the thing. Well, it's actually a great question. Boom, boom, boom. So let's take it offline as well. On the last slide of this presentation, I'm gonna share with you my like direct email address. So just drop me a quick email. Next question from Shankarnath Majumber. Is there any graphical explanation presentation after connecting between different hosts? What do you mean? Could you please clarify, because I'm not sure if I understand everything correctly. And another question from George. Did you say Azure supported for replication and backup? Well, almost. I mean, we have tested it. I would say that it's a really good beta. Well, if you have some kind of disk space in Azure, you can obviously test it out. Moreover, we will really gladly assist you in configuring such an environment. And soon, really soon, we will launch the campaign regarding the Starwind in Azure, for Azure, with Azure. Oh, okay. Question from Shankar. Is there any graphical explanation presentation after connecting between different hosts? How the device interconnected in between? I'm assuming that Shankar refers to availability device. So let me show you how exactly the thing is displayed in the Starwind Management Console. You see HA image. That means that the thing is shade. You can go to the replication manager and see who exactly is a partner. You can go to the replication node interfaces and check what IP addresses are assigned for synchronization and the heartbeat on the node. And you can manage it from there as well. I hope that answered your question. Whoa. Oh, come on. Okay, so boom, 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 boom. I hope that answers the question. What is Matt is asking? What is the system overhead required? What do you mean overhead? I'm not sure that I'm understanding everything correctly, so I don't want to answer the wrong question. So I'd highly appreciate if you could clarify. CPU, RAM. You mean system requirements? Not much actually. CPU, well, as about the CPU and RAM, you know, my colleague Alex Sattler usually say that if a Windows Server can run on the server, then Starwind can work on it as well. That's exactly what Starwind do. It consumes everything you have. But it's still a good question because the requirement gets increased if you're using LSFS and the replication. So the replication requires, if I'm not mistaken, 3.5 megabytes per gigabyte of data for cache, 3.5 megabytes of random access memory per each gigabyte of data. And LSFS itself consumes 3 times more disk space than the actual device is. It's just how it works, and there are a lot of benefits in it. And moreover, I mean, don't be afraid. That's actually a good point, because LSFS is intended to significantly accelerate the not expensive SATA spindles. Well, for example, one of our users had SATA-based system that gave him, if I'm not mistaken, something around 700 IOPS, and with LSFS he achieved 10,000 IOPS, so it's like 10 times boost, right? I hope that answered your question. Okay, so anybody else? Bam, bam, bam. Looks like no. Okay, gentlemen, then thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for joining this tap room. Thank you for great questions. Thank you for your attention. And I really hope that I'm going to see you soon in my mailbox or on the next tap rooms. So just a quick reminder for you guys that if you want to contact sales email on your screens. If you want general information, contact info@starwindsoftware.com. And if you want, contact me personally. Again, you're welcome there. Just email to av@starwind.com. So thank you, everybody, for your attention.